Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. I'm going to be Pastor the Heart. Isn't that awesome? And you know, DeHart means from the heart. Some people say DeHart. If you're from the South, it's DeHart. But isn't that wonderful? I just love the fact that I'm marrying this amazing man and taking such a beautiful name. The Brown name has served me well. We're so appreciative of that season. But things are changing, and we should be expecting more. And I have a good message for you this morning called, What Do You Expect? And that's a real question. I want you to just think about that for a moment. What do you expect? And we hear that, like, I actually heard a parent in the store talking about their child, and we're talking to another person about him, and I'm standing near, and she said it. She goes, well, what do you expect? I get sermon titles everywhere. And I just wanted to go up to her and start preaching because it was so negative. Right? Because this person had been in a repetitive pattern of doing some things. And the authority, the parent, basically is saying to this other person, I don't know if they were a relative or what, but like, what do you expect? Like, I expect them to keep acting like a fool, basically. It's just who they are. And I'm trying to raise your awareness right now. We're going to hit on a lot of different things. But the question is, what do you expect? And many times when we have seen something or haven't seen something, we start expecting more of the negative. And so the Lord is working in this area, in this word right now, of expectation, because you can't actively operate in faith without hope-filled expectation in God and what he says. So this word expect, it's a verb. It's not a noun, it's not a thing, it's a verb, it's an action word. And it means to look forward to, regard as likely to happen, to anticipate the occurrence or the coming of. Now that could work, this is dictionary.com, that could work in a really positive way, or it could work in a really negative way. And it means to look for with reason or justification. So many times we're justified in expecting a bad outcome because of the behavior, the current behavior of someone or a pattern. But the Lord requires us to live at a higher level. And I say this, you've got to faith it. Because what faith does is it defies the negative pattern. Faith defies the doctor's report. Faith defies the lie of the enemy. Faith in God's word has to be defiant against a current reality. We can change outcomes. Isn't this awesome? We can change outcomes on the earth if we learn to expect what God says to happen in our lives. But you have to have expectation. There's an idiom called to be expecting, and women know this one. It means a woman is pregnant and anticipating the birth of she and the father's child, to be carrying what has been conceived to term and delivery. Now, there's a spiritual parallel here I want to teach you. The word of God is called a seed. And the seed has to get implanted in the spiritual womb of your soul. Men, In the kingdom, there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek. All of y'all, as Mama would say, are the bride. Men and women alike, we're the bride. And the body of Christ on the earth is both a male and a female. The word of God with the bride of Christ on the earth should be able to conceive things spiritually because of the word of God. Is everybody tracking with me? Because of the word of God. And we are supposed to carry dreams. We are supposed to be carrying the miraculous. We are supposed to be giving birth to things that defy current reality. Because we are not just natural, we are supernatural. When the word of God gets implanted in your soul and you open your heart and you receive it, you become impregnated with a dream for your family, with a dream for your business, with a dream, a God dream for what God wants to do on the earth through you. Amen? I want to be like that. I want to be a fertile garden for the Lord, where he can plant the seed of his word in me, and I will be fierce and protective and faith-filled and keep myself healthy spiritually so that I can give birth to the thing that God put in my heart. I don't know about you, but I am expecting. In the spirit, I'm expecting. I'm carrying many words from the Lord that I will, in the name of Jesus, give full birth to. Much of it I already have. But I believe God is putting some things, he's reminding you of some things that were conceived with him in prayer. Oh, I feel the anointing all over me. They were conceived, and there was a time when you felt it. It hit your spirit, and you went, that's it. It came in, and it's something that you've carried for many, many years, and the enemy has warred against these things you're pregnant with. And I'm telling you, we're in a season where you are so pregnant with promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the enemy hates the seed of Christ in you. In fact, it's a seed war. Thank you, Janet. In Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord came to the serpent and he said, you know what? You bruised his heel, but I'm going to put a seed in a woman. And that seed is going to crush your head. It took a seed to crush the enemy. And it's going to take the seed he put on you inside of you to crush the enemy in this hour. I'm telling you, you are pregnant with promise. There's promises for your children. There's promises for this church. There are promises for this city of Modesto. There are promises for our nation. There are promises that God has spoken, but he needs somebody to take care of the spiritual womb that he put it in and say, I am not going to quit. The birth pangs may be here. It may be hard. I may be in travail, but God, help me give birth to what you put inside of me. Help me to have some fortitude and to endure until I see the promise come forth. Y'all are acting like Baptists this morning. I need you to wake up and act a little Pentecostal with me, okay? My pastor, Pastor Rod Parsley, famously quotes him. I don't know if it's Smith Wigglesworth or Lester Summerall, but one of them said this, and it's just one I've held on to for years. Expectation is the breeding ground of miracles. Hallelujah. So as believers, we should be expecting miracles. We should be expecting signs and wonders to accompany us. To accompany us. Now, the definition of accompany is to go along or join in action with another. To follow. The definition of musical accompaniment, something incidental or added for use with something else. So I've got some text, and I'm going to read to you right now, and then we're going to look some more at this. Jesus said in Mark 16, 17 through 18, and these signs will, he didn't say they might, he said they will accompany those who have believed. So you got to have believed. It doesn't say those who went to seminary or cemetery or whatever. You just need to believe. There are signs and there are wonders and there are miracles that follow a believer. That's why we shouldn't be so, you know, straining. Oh God, I need a miracle. We can ask God to perform a miracle, but we should be expecting miracles to happen just because we believe. Because Jesus said so. I don't care what some faithless, monotonous, robotic minister says who has omitted large portions of Scripture. How can you stand up and preach portions of Scripture and omit the stuff that you have no faith to believe in? I'm on one today. I have been around the spirit of religion and heard them say, you can't preach about that in this church because that's spiritual suicide. Well, it ain't me killing myself spiritually. It's you. Literally you. Believers, let me tell you something. This is the words of our Savior. And he said in his name, some things are going to happen. You will cast out demons. It doesn't say you call Ghostbusters. It says you do it. Jesus drove him out with a word. He didn't have to have long conversations with him. He just said, go. You have the authority. You have the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he's saying, you believe in me. These are some of the signs that are going to follow your life. That's why I get bothered when people call, you know, somebody that they think is higher up spiritually to handle something they should be handling. That stuff used to wear me out. Oh, call Pastor Verna. She can really get the demon out. I'm like, I'm not doing it anymore. You're a believer. Jesus said that in his name, you'd do it. You do it. Believe in his name and then tell the thing to go. They will speak in new tongues. Now, we've seen abuses of all of that, but here's the words of our Savior. So don't ever mock the Holy Spirit. When someone is speaking in another tongue, you don't have to understand it. Bible says that the things of the Spirit are crazy. They're foolishness to your natural mind. You got to get used to feeling uncomfortable and not understanding what's going on. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus said, if you believe in him, you do it. And sometimes people do that. And you know, Mike Murdoch, I love him. He had his little devotional out this morning. He said, don't dismiss this, your prayer language. Because it says when you're speaking in your prayer language, that you're uttering mysteries and that God is actually praying through you. Sometimes I get tired of praying, so I'm just like, God, you do it. My brain gets tired trying to think of all the things I'm supposed to pray about, so I just turn it over to the Holy Spirit who knows everything, and he just handles the business, and then I end up charged up and feeling a lot better, right? But the Lord says that you're going to have these things accompanying your life, and he says they will pick up serpents. Now, we got weirdos out in the bush doing this, playing with serpents and all that, and testing God, but, you know, the fact of the matter is, we're not to test God in that way. But Paul, he was there on the Isle of Malta, and a serpent came out of the fire and was latched onto his hand. No one survived that. And that's why everyone on that island got saved, is because no one had ever survived a bite of that snake. And Paul just shook it off in the fire and went on ministering to them, and the whole place gave their heart to the Lord. That was a sign that accompanied Paul's ministry. The signs are not stuff that we're going to focus on. Oh, I'm going to perform some miracles today. I'm a miracle worker. I'm just going to stand up here and do all these signs and wonders, and people are going to think I'm all that and a bag of chips. You know, set yourself down before you wreck yourself. The fact of the matter is, you should never be like glorifying signs. The signs should be pointing to the focal point, which is God. Everywhere, you know, you go, there should be some supernatural things that occur where people go, wow, I don't know what I just ran into, but I felt something. Mm-hmm. And he says, if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on this. They will. lay hands on the sick and they will get well. Amen. It's just the way it is. And these are the words of our Savior. And so what I'm trying to teach you today is that we should be expecting, when we pray for people, for things to happen. Because God said it would. Right? We believe, we're not beggars. Oh God, please, if it's your will. Oh Lord, don't get me started. If it's your will. Come on, church. You want to know the will of God? Read the Bible. The Bible is the revealed will of God. You want to know the will of your Savior? Read his words. I don't know if it's God's will in this situation. Listen, everyone has an appointed day. Yes, bodies do die. And sometimes people do not get healed. But we should always pray believing that they will. Expecting these things to happen because we believe. Amen? So we should be expecting. Whatever it is in your life that aligns with the will of God and has been revealed in the Word of God, you should speak it as if you already have it, and you should expect it to show up because God said it. What do you expect? Yeah? I had a little short story I was going to tell you about singing with my sister. I think I've mentioned this in the past, but I used to sing with my sister in church. My parents would actually push us out there to sing. And I had a spirit of fear, and I hated it. I battled a spirit of fear for a long time as a child. And so I always thought my sister sang better than I did, and she was tall, so she could actually block people from looking at me while I was playing the piano and singing. And I liked that, so I'd stand her right up in front, and you know, as long as I could hide back there, I was okay. But her singing with me always made me sound better. Because I love harmonies. Really good harmonies are beautiful. But this is what signs and wonders and miracles do in the life of the believer. They create a beauty and enhance not only our lives, but our life as believers. It's wonderful to get around someone who's filled with faith, who believes in their God, who has a history with God, that can encourage you with testimonies that have followed their life because they've been a believer. Hey, let me tell you about the time God delivered my child. Yeah. And it wasn't because of anything I did, man. I tried counseling, I tried everything else, but one day I just decided to put the word of God on that child and believe. Amen? And the Lord turned their life around. There was an accompanying sign and a wonder and a miracle because I believed. One day I had to go from expecting the worst and start expecting that the things I was praying for with regards to that child or this thing, that God was going to do it. Amen. And so many of us are standing on the other side of wars that we fought. And others fought with us. And we said, hey, would you expect with me? Against all odds, against everything you see right now going on in their life or my life, or what will you expect with me? This better report, this thing that God says over them, will you expect with me? Will you believe with me? How many of you have, by show of hands, how many of you have a testimony of getting in agreement with somebody when it was all the way bad and you said, please expect with me? And God turned that situation around. It didn't happen overnight, but one day you started to see the turn. Amen? Woo, come on, give God praise. I just feel, yes, yes, yes. So these signs, they validate the existence and the power of God in the life of the believer, and they draw others to him. That's why we need to continually believe in his word and become word warriors. Yes? So number 3C, as a believer, when you exercise your God-given authority and speak his word, you got to speak his word. You can expect the same signs to accompany you. Matthew 8, 16, when evening came, they brought to him, this is Jesus, many who were under the power of demons, and he cast out the evil spirits. I like this. It doesn't say with words. It says a word. I can just imagine being there and him saying, go, leave. Just one word, you know, a word. Jesus didn't wear himself out. It was just like he knew who he was. Watch this. And restored to health all who were sick, exhibiting his authority as Messiah. So signs follow. They do not precede. As believers, we should never be more focused on the signs than on the people whom God loves and wants to be free. The signs supernaturally follow us as we minister God's love to others. Jesus, he gave his 12 disciples power. Many cessationist organizations say that, you know, miracles ceased. That's what cessationism means. They ceased with the apostles. Baloney. We have over 2,000 years of documented miracles that are still happening today. So that whole theory is debunked by the mere facts of what God has done through believers after all the apostles, original apostles died. It's still going on. Jesus called his 12 followers together. He gave them power over evil spirits. The last message I preached to you was called, I'm over it. He gave them power over evil spirits and power to heal every kind of disease and sickness. He said, heal the sick in verse 8. Heal them. Bring the dead back to life. Now, my mother, she prayed resurrection for several people that did come back to life. But when she was dying, she told me, Vernie, do not pray for me to come back to life. I don't want to come back to life. Don't you dare pray for me to be resurrected. Because you cannot override someone's will. When a person decides that they're ready to go be with Jesus, right? Just let them go. Moses went up on the mountain and gave up his spirit. It's not the worst thing in life for a body to die, for it to wear out. The Bible says it's going to. We should not throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's what I'm trying to say. We're all aging. One day all of us are going to have a body that dies. But we will never die because we are an eternal spirit. Amen? But until God gets done with a person, we need to war against the enemy this time to take them prematurely. I'm getting good amens now. It's good, Revy. I've seen the devil come with attacks against somebody's physical health, and they know they're not done yet. They know God's not done with them yet. And they need just somebody to come in agreement with them. When I went back to get my mom in Tennessee, when they cut her open and said that she had colon cancer and she was going to die in 72 hours, and I flew back there as fast as I could get there, I go in, and she's in critical care, not ICU. She's in critical care, and she's laying there. And I said, Mama, they say you're going to die in 72 hours. She goes, zip it. She goes, that is not what God told me. It ain't over till he says it's over. And I am going to preach the word of God. I am going to get out of this God-forsaken place. I am going to get out of this hospital, and I'm going home to California with you, and I will know when it's over. Because he will let me know when it's over. Now, I need you to get in agreement and pray with me because the enemy's trying to take my life prematurely. And she said, cancer will never take me. Jesus will. And when I'm ready, he will step through the door and he will take me home to be with him. I don't give credit that cancer that much credit. And that's the way she lived. And she lived almost another 6 months with us and passed away in the girls' room at home and led many, many people to the Lord. But we are not to just succumb to everything that we hear. We need to be fierce and expect that God is going to operate not only toward us, but through us. The power of God is going to flow through us as we continue to believe. We are God's agents on the earth. And I'm so tired of the enemy taking young people's lives prematurely because a spirit of death is warring against their mind. We have the authority. to bind that spirit of death, that spirit of suicide, and get it off of their mind and drive that thing out of their life and give them a chance to hear the voice of the Lord and to fulfill the destiny that he has placed on their lives. And we get so caught up in talking about the problem rather than believing that God has given us a solution. That's proof that he gave the disciples power. And then Jesus gives 72 more followers his power, which debunks a cessationist theory right here. Because if he only gave it to 12, then he wouldn't have given it to 72 more. Jesus gives 72 more followers his power and sends them out in groups of two. Why? Because there's power in agreement. One might be overpowered, but two, that's an unbreakable cord. And then you've got God on your side and everything else. So he sent them out in agreement, right? Jesus acts like healing and casting out devils is no big deal. The bigger deal is believing in him and the one who sent him. Now, I'm almost done, you guys. I have to get through this because this is on God's heart. Luke 10 says, after this, the Lord chose 72 more followers. He sent them out in groups of two. He sent them ahead of him into every town and place where he planned to go. He said to them, there is such a big harvest of people to bring in, but there are only a few workers to help harvest them. God owns the harvest. Ask him to send more workers to help bring in this harvest. That's why I named the church Soul Harvest, because this is Jesus' desire. He's like, I got a harvest to bring in. I need souls. I'm sending you out. This is a big job. We need more. Pray for more. But you get to work. He said, you can go now, but listen, I'm sending you, and you will be like sheep among wolves. Thank you, Jesus. Don't carry any money, a bag, or sandals. Don't stop to talk with people on the road before you go into a house. Say, peace be with this home. And if the people living there love peace, your blessing of peace will stay on them. But if not, your blessing of peace will come back to you. I like that. So just speak peace over people. You're either going to bless them or yourself. So say good things. Stay in the peace-loving house. Eat and drink what the people there give you. A worker should be given his pay. Don't leave that house to stay in another house. If you go into a town and the people welcome you, eat the food they give you, heal the sick people who live there, and tell them God's kingdom is now very near you. So wherever the kingdom of God is wherever you are. As a believer, the kingdom of God shows up. Now there's power there for you to operate as a believer, right? Jesus's plan, Jesus care, not Obamacare, was that the church would, wherever they went, that they would be agents of healing and power wherever they went. Oh, we got so many powerless churches. Soul Harvest isn't one of those powerless churches. There's power in this house because the Holy Spirit's in this house. The kingdom of God is near. It's here because we're here. We're believers. Amen? But if you go into a town and the people don't welcome you, then go out into the streets of that town and say, even the dirt from your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. But remember that God's kingdom is coming soon. I tell you, on the judgment day, it will be worse for the people of that town than for the people of Sodom. Whoa. And then he goes on, it will be bad for you. I don't know how to say this. Chorazin. It will be bad for you, Bethsaida. I did many miracles in you. If those same miracles had happened in Tyre and Sidon, then the people in those cities would have changed their lives and stopped sinning a long time ago. They would have worn sackcloth and sat in ashes to show that they were sorry for their sins. But on the judgment day, it will be worse for you than Tyre and Sidon. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to heaven? No, you will be thrown down to the place of death. When anyone listens to you, my followers, they are listening to me. See, many of you have been rejected because you spoke the truth. But you got to understand, it's not you they're rejecting. It's him. That's all bad. He says, but when anyone refuses to accept you, they are really refusing to accept me. There's that rejection. So many times we take that on. Oh, they rejected me. They rejected my word. They rejected my, you know, my presence. My very your presence as a believer is a, it's a terror, a nightmare to the enemy. I love that too. But you've got to get some fortitude, believers, is what I'm saying. because the spirit that's had them bound, the spirit that's held them sick, the spirit's been lying to them, the spirit that has controlled their life and their family is shaken in their shoes, the spirits, because you're there. There's going to be pushback. There'll be things said, their mouth is moving, and you're like, you think they're the one saying it. It's the enemy saying it through them to you. And you need to stand in your confidence and just watch their mouths move. Pray for the individual. Separate them, the loved one, from the spirit that's warring against their life. Speak destiny over them. Speak God's word over them. They'll be like me. When I was in the drug room, Mama said, "Devil, you will not take my child." Every word spoken over her life shall come forth in the name of Jesus. And then she starts saying what God said and what God saw over my life. And I thought, she's freaking crazy. She was. She was out of her mind. She was in Jesus' mind. Yep. It's foolishness. But I remember, and I've said this many times, when the words came out of her mouth, there was something in me that latched on to those words. It was the first time I felt myself really reach for a prophetic word because I was in such a desperate place. My soul was still battling the addiction, but that word, it impregnated my life. It pierced through everything I had done, every mistake, every lie. It pierced and it went in there, and I'm sitting there looking every way opposite of what she was speaking. But the word of God, the seed of God's word went into my heart, and it impregnated a girl named Verna who was so far away from God. But it took a mother who realized it's not going to be me trying to talk her out of what she's doing or anything else like that. It's me dealing with the devil that's operating in her life and speaking to her spirit a word from God. I don't care how crazy it sounds. And the rest is history because I'm here today standing in every word she spoke. Hallelujah. We're going to finish this, and then I'm going to shut this down. When the 72 followers came back from their trip, they were very happy. They said, "Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we used your name." We used your name. Jesus said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky. He is the enemy, but know that I have given you more power than he has. I have given you power to crush his snakes and scorpions under your feet." That's not literal snakes and scorpions. That's demonic spirits. Why? Because you are the body of Christ on the earth that Jesus prophesied to the serpent in the book of Genesis, saying one day a seed is going to come from a woman and she's going to crush her head. He did that at the cross, but he's still crushing demons through you today. He is. He told them nothing will hurt you. Yes, even the spirits obey you. Yeah, normal. That's Christianity 101. And you can be happy. And then he doesn't tell them because spirits obey you. He said you can be happy because you have this power. You have it. You can be happy because your names are written in heaven. You're a believer. That's the bigger deal. It is a big deal when we see the power of God operate through us to push back the darkness that's coming against our families. I love it. I love that. I'm like, "Oh, you tried that, devil. You're so stupid. You tried that. Don't you know by now?" But Jesus is saying, Don't get all worked up because using the power of my name works. That's going to work. It was just kind of like a, yeah, Here's the greater reason to be happy, because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We brought it full circle. The most thing you should be happy about is that you're a believer. You're a believer. And because you're a believer, all this other stuff is just following you around. It's good to be happy about that, amen? But it's just following you around. So he's basically saying, what did you expect? Yeah? What do you expect? I read this story, and it was about these patients who all had bad knees. And so they decided to do an experiment where they were going to do actual surgery on a number of them, and then they were going to do just put three small incisions on the knees of these other patients who needed surgery. And they put them all out. Everybody thought they had surgery. And because the ones that got the three incisions thought they had surgery, they were totally expecting to get better. Did you know that all of them that were expecting to walk better, be stronger, and to do better because they had surgery, they did. Their knees got healed. Sometimes I think, I just don't want people to tell me the bad news. God has given us his word, amen? And sometimes what we do know is killing us. That's how powerful expectation is. We ought to act as if we got the full surgery. Some of us need a brain transplant, right? We ought to act as if we got the full thing, because we did. We got grafted in. We've got the healing. We've got the power. We've got the deliverance. We've got the freedom. We've got everything because we have Jesus. We should be expecting all of these things to happen in our lives and in the lives of those that we are believing for. I loved preaching this message today. I hope you are encouraged. And anytime a negative thing comes at you, I want you to check your expectation meter. Ask yourself, what am I expecting right now? In Job, it says, the thing I feared came upon me. You know why? Because that person was expecting the worst. Let's raise our expectation, amen? Because God said it, we believe it, and it's so. Come on, stand to your feet. Father, we thank you for this word. I ask you now, Lord, to move by your spirit in the heart of every person that is in this room and under the sound of my voice, whether they are here today or they are watching this in the archive some other time. I pray you would move in their hearts in such a powerful way that you would war, Holy Spirit, with the truth. Help them to war against every lie, every assignment of the enemy, any block, anything that is hindering them from everything that you died to give them, Lord Jesus. Number one, salvation. I pray they would believe. Today would be the day of salvation. Now would be the expected time. I pray that they would expect, Lord, complete salvation, transformation, and deliverance in your name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm going to help you pray. Say, Jesus, I believe in you as Savior. I believe that you are forgiving me of my sins. I repent and I give you my whole life. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. I will never, 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 never be the same. In your powerful name, amen. Get ready, because things are about to change in your life. If you need prayer, please don't leave. We will continue to pray. I know a lot happened at the altar call this morning, but the prayer team will be here. Always feel free to come on up. Otherwise, I love you guys. Enjoy your weekend, what's left of it, and I will see you on Wednesday night.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.